Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution. Grand Rising! Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and we'll be joined in a moment with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family, and our co-host, our guest co-host, as you know, Maika, will be joining us for some political discussion as we talk to one of the candidates for office in Chicago's 9th Ward, who is throwing his hat in the ring to address some of the major challenges that this community has faced over the years in terms of economic distress and deprivation of services. And he believes his longtime experience as an activist and an achiever of change can be brought into the floor of City Hall to make a difference. And as one of the promising young leaders of our nation, he brings a fresh new approach to problem solving. So we're going to speak to
Reverend Cameron Barnes, Aldermanic candidate of the 9th Ward. And we'll be back in a moment as we prepare to join our co-host for the day and our guest, Reverend Cameron Barnes. So stay close. We want you to make sure you share this show today because we want to show what leadership looks like in the future. The young minds who are taking a stand and choosing to make a difference. What does that look like and what does that promise for the future of our cities and our nation? So we'll be back with our guest co-host, Maika, and our co-host, Kareem, and our American Muslim 360 family, and our guest for today, Reverend Cameron Barnes. We'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch the Media Connection.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on the Media Connection at www.youtube.com/MediaConnection.
Is logically as well as psychologically inclined with fitness
and we are back
examine the root
and we want you
that impact our holistic
to make sure that you are tuned in and can call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak so that you can ask questions of our guest today. And before we bring on Reverend Cameron Barnes, let us introduce
Program Manager for American
our
360, inviting you to join us every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. for
Maika Grand Rising.
Believe,
thank you so much for joining us
yourself,
today on the Female Solution.
A creative innovation that will ease your mind. Educate yourself. What
and,
path will you take? Will you be wise in the decisions you make?
Let me make
set
sure
your standards high. Don't settle for less. You
your
have
mic
the
is
power
open.
Be the best. You will succeed.
Yes,
Maika,
are you with us? Thank you so much for joining us today.
Knowledge is power. Wisdom supreme. Success inevitable.
And for those who are on our switchboard, feel free to press 1. Even if you're not in the 9th Ward, even if you're not in Chicago, even if you're not in America, because these are issues
be
that
assertive when it
are
comes to your life,
affecting
because
all
no
of
one
life.
Else will do it just right. Unlock the door.
When we look at
you have
what is necessary for our well-being,
you must
and we look at what is necessary for our survival, we know we can't continue to do things the same way and expect different results. We have to make a change. And the exciting thing is that we have new leadership arising that is making it possible for us to make a difference. And we're also joined by our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family.
Latif aired every Wednesday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Praise
yes.
the Almighty God Allah. Let me open up Sister Naima's mic and let
unmuted.
Us begin this wonderful broadcast.
Yes.
Assalamualaikum, Naima.
Wa alaikum salam. And for those who have just tuned in, of course, every Wednesday we are broadcasting from two Blog Talk radio stations. So we not only have our global audience, but we also are joined by the number one Islamic station in the nation, American Muslim 360, and my wonderful co-host, Kareem Hamid, who joins us every Wednesday to share his wisdom and bring in a profound audience that is committed to making the world a better place for all. And we have our co-host, Maika, also on the line. And we have joining us on our Facebook and YouTube channel, our guest for the day, Aldermanic candidate, Reverend Cameron Barnes. And he's going to share a vision for Chicago's Ninth Ward. And as many Chicago neighborhoods, the Ninth Ward has faced challenges and needs a new direction, perhaps, a new vision, a fresh vision. And this is what our guest today represents. So without further ado, let me bring on a dynamic young man that you need to know, Reverend Cameron Barnes. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Female Solution.
Ms. Latif, it's better to be with you. Thank you so much for having me. My camera is showing a little weird picture, but I hope it's showing fine for you.
Yeah, it's halting a little bit, but we can hear you just fine. So, you know, sometimes the internet does that. Just make sure you don't have any other windows open on your computer so it's not, you know, sapping your energy from your from your internet.
I'm doing this from my hotspot. Forgive me. I'm joining from my grandparents' home in the Ninth Ward, of course, where they don't have internet. So I'm doing this from the hotspot of my phone. We want this to be a strong connection, but I'm so glad to be here with you, Ms. Maji.
Well, I'm honored that you have joined us. And we are so excited to hear your vision for the Ninth Ward of Chicago. Now, you just mentioned one thing that might be an issue that residents may be dealing with. There are some areas where people may not have internet, and that's critical because everything is over the internet. So that means an absence of access to information. But first, before you get into some of the challenges that you hope to alleviate in the Ninth Ward, give us a bit of background on yourself. I know, of course, we had an amazing journey in working with Rainbow Push and, of course, the global leadership of Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. And you have traveled with him extensively.
Yeah.
And doing much of the civil rights work, the human rights work, and even recently going down to Southern Illinois, where we had to face a really what is a murder mystery. And the fact that Reverend Jackson was adamant and not letting that disappear, the death of a young college student, in ways that definitely needed to be questioned and the lackadaisical attitude of the law enforcement. But tell us a bit about some of the work that you've done, the things you've been involved with, and what prompted you to decide to take your activism to the floor of City Hall and empower yourself to change the laws.
Well, really, much of it can be stemmed back to all the way back to 2015 when I first got involved with the Rainbow Push Coalition, when I first really began coming into social conscience, if you will. 2016 in Altgeld Gardens, which at that time was a part of the Ninth Ward. Now it's been taken out of the Ninth Ward and pushed into the 10th Ward here after the map was redrawn in May of 2022. But when my high school prompted to close, I had been at my high school since the first day it opened, which was my seventh grade year. By my senior year, which was about 6 years later, they were going to close the school. But there's no other public school here that would serve this corridor of the south side of Chicago. There's a military high school, but the selective enrollment is predominantly Latino community out of the Hedgewish community. So this was really the only public high school that Altgeld Gardens and Golden Gates and Concordia Place Apartments and Riverside Village and Pangea Apartments, all of these communities along 130th, could go to that school. And so in 2016, I was the last graduating valedictorian. And I got on the press conference, I got on the news and everything at the behest of my principal, at the behest of many of my peers who said, well, Cameron is outspoken, Cameron is well-spoken, he should speak for us. And there is a video of me keep our high school open. Chicago instead decided to close our high school. And I further got involved with Rainbow Push. Reverend Jackson had become my mentor. I went to Central State University and pledged Omega Psi Phi fraternity. 2018, me and Reverend got closer. And then when the pandemic happened and they sent us home for spring break in 2020 and then told us don't come back, I really began going every week, every day, really, to Rainbow Push to volunteer to do as much as I could. At that time, in the pandemic, we served through Rainbow Push and our partners over 150,000 meals to the Chicagoland area. And after all of that dedication, Reverend Jackson said, I think I need you to be my national youth director. And Ms. Latif, that's when I got the privilege to travel the country. I mean, the length and breadth of this country, from L.A. to New York, from D.C. to Texas, and so on everywhere in between, traveling with Reverend Jackson at his side to fight these battles, standing with the families of George Floyd, Jacob Blake, Breonna Taylor, Jelani Day, as you mentioned, Ahmaud Arbery, Georgia, at the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Race Massacre of 1921. All of these different kinds of things that we've been able to enjoy. I've been able to work very closely with all of the five biggest civil rights organizations in the country. Rainbow Push Coalition, National Action Network, the Urban League, the NAACP, and Repairers of the Breach of the Poor People's Campaign, William Barber. So all of this work had begun preparing me for this run, and I did not know at that time that it was preparing me for this run. But it was giving me a unique opportunity as a 20, 21, 22, 23-year-old individual who was blessed to be exposed to such an experience. And then, Ms. Latif, as you know, because you joined us out, as you know, in February of 2021, we got involved with the Concordia Place Apartments. We're located right over here at 13037 South Daniel Drive in Chicago, Illinois, right adjacent to Altgeld Gardens and the neighborhood where I live. You know that they were dealing with terrible infestations, mold infestations, vermin, deteriorating and dilapidated fixtures in their apartments and the staircases and all of the like. So we lobbied to address that problem. I brought that problem to Reverend Jackson and said, Reverend, the housing issue is a crisis in the Ninth Ward. The public housing, this is. And if you can't be, of course, Ms. Lateef, peaceful in your own home, if you can't find peace, if you can't enjoy peace in your own home, you really can't enjoy peace anywhere, because you should at least be comfortable in your own home. But these, my peers, my family, my community, my constituents, were suffering silently for the last 3 decades. They didn't know who to go to, Ms. Lateef. They didn't know who to articulate this problem to, who to articulate this issue to, who can we talk to, or as Escape would say, who can I run to? Or I should say the Jones girls, because they did it first. But that's not what we're talking about. They wanted to know, really, who could they run to really address this problem? I brought it to Reverend Jackson. We began taking on the problem, taking on the issue. We hosted, as you know, every single elected official from the federal level down to the local level, from the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development on President Biden's cabinet, Secretary Marsha Fudge, who came at the behest of Reverend and myself to Concordia Place Apartments in the Ninth Ward, all the way down to the congresswoman, the congressman, the mayor of the city, everyone except the alderman, not come out, who refused to come out any time that we did anything. Here we are 2 years later, and I personally have not seen Alderman Bill on the campus of Concordia Place Apartments 2 years later. That is really what prompted me to run in this election. But Ms. Lateef, what happened was, he got in the paper, Alderman Bill, that's already in office, he got in the paper and said, I've made it clear to all parties involved that I'm available if need be, but I think that the parties involved should rectify this issue amongst themselves. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but basically what he said was, I made it clear that I'm available, but really those who are involved should handle it amongst themselves, so don't call me. The problem with that was, he never made it clear to us that he was available. We had reached out to him on several occasions, and we never got a response back. Never. It was never made clear that he was available nor accessible. And when I realized that if you're not an accessible alderman at the time where even the federal government is turning the light on to an issue in your ward, then you are not the elected official that we need to represent us on the city council. And so those over 700 residents prompted me to run in the Ninth Ward to represent them, to get even more resources from the city level. And that's a little bit about how we walked to this space where we are from 2015 to 2023 and running for alderman, a winning race in the Ninth Ward on the south side of Chicago.
Well, that is quite a story, and it really points to the fact that when things aren't right, we don't just complain about it. We do something about it. And if you don't like the leadership that you have, step up and replace it. So I applaud you for stepping up when you see a need not being filled, and when you see that perhaps the leadership that's there is not responding in a way that the people need. So, well, I want to open it up for our listeners, our viewers, and our co-hosts for some questions. And I know the first question, probably people are doing the math and they're going, okay, you're in high school this year. And now, so the question is, how old are you now?
So now I'm only 24 years old.
All right,
I'm a 24-year-old activist. I've traveled the country, and I've been blessed at 24 to have these kind of experiences, to have been all across this country. And I want that experience. I don't think it was given to me by coincidence. It was preparing me for this run.
Well, that's quite powerful. And for those people who are familiar with the Chicago area, and they know Alt Gill Gardens is in the southeast end of the city, it's been plagued with a lot of issues, you know, dump sites and so forth, keeping the air impure and manifesting disease in young children and all of that, that, you know, and if an elected official doesn't address it, how is it going to be addressed? It's not something people can just kind of work out among themselves. You need somebody to change some policies. That's the bottom line. So, well, we've got Maika from even further south. She is working with the farmers out in Pembroke, and I know that Reverend Jackson has been out there addressing their energy needs and economic needs and, you know, trying to make that connection so that the residents there can be empowered. So, Maika, I want to open up, you know, the floor for you. You, of course, worked with one of the major political activists, you know, the wife of Reverend James Bevel, who was part of the strategic arm of Dr. King's movement. And you've been working consistently as an educator to educate us on the history. She's an author and definitely one who is reminding us of the need to organize in order to make a change. So, Maika, do you have some questions, comments, insights for Ninth Ward Aldermanic candidate Reverend Cameron Barnes? Go right ahead. I'm not sure I'm hearing you. Check your mute on your phone.
Okay, now you can hear me.
There Welcome. We go. Yeah.
Greetings, Reverend Barnes. Glad to meet you. And Brother Kareem, glad to hear your voice again. As a matter of fact, Bevel was the one who introduced and brought Reverend Jesse Jackson to the King SCLC. He was the initiator of that meeting, and Jesse Jackson coming into being the head of Operation Breadbasket at that time, because he needed a young leader who was capable of handling Chicago, and Jesse Reverend Jackson was a person, and he has been handling it to some degree. So, Reverend Barnes, I want to applaud you for taking the leadership position and stepping out on faith to change the conditions of your ward. I don't assume that you're married, right?
No, not yet.
Are you planning on being married soon?
Well, I don't know about soon, but I do plan on being married.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I ask these questions because I have some prerequisites for leadership. You know, I like for aldermen on up to be married because you represent only one half of your constituency when you're not, and it's important to be able to represent the feminine aspect of the ward if you're male and the masculine aspect if you are a female. And that's important. And we don't like, a lot of times young men by themselves, when they come in office or into fame, women create a problem and distract them. We don't want no distraction. You know, good looking young man in office, and he ain't married? Oh, wow. I'm going to get him. You know, now you got something else going on, you know. So we don't want no distractions. But anyway, somebody's got to do the job. Was there anything that Reverend Bill did for the community at all? Can you say anything positive that he may have done to help uplift the Ninth Ward, I think you said? Or are you in the 10th now? You
well,
said the
I'm not say, sure. I could say that there has been landmark investment in the Pullman neighborhood, landmark investment in a space in the area, an award, piece of the ward, which was the Pullman Porters site. It's the site of where Pullman Porters were first unionized as the black first black union by A. Philip Randolph, which was designated a national historical landmark by President Obama in 2015. Then those millions of dollars were poured into Pullman neighborhood So I can say to an extent that there was economic development, and we do enjoy the fruits of a Walmart and a few different things that opened up in the Ninth Ward, in Pullman particularly. But my problem with that is anytime something positive comes with this current alderman, it's circumvented by then something negative. Because all of that investment came, and yes, all of those stores opened and there's some restaurants and different things, but that came at the price of then tripling and quadrupling and in many cases crippling taxes to the businesses and the homeowners that were already in existence. And what happened was the revitalization came with gentrification. Yes, it was revitalized in Pullman, but it was also gentrified in Roseland. And so when Pullman became the sort of vanguard of the Ninth Ward, which it really was just a small section of Roseland, Roseland began to drown out even more. And so as everything opened in Pullman, everything closed in Roseland. Wow. So is it really a positive aspect to this leadership if everything positive has to also be canceled out with something negative? Because how good is the investment? How valuable, how feasible is the investment if we're not going to be here to take advantage of it because we've been taxed out or gentrified out? And now we can no longer even afford to live in the Ninth Ward or to have business in the Ninth Ward simply because the taxes, the property taxes, have tripled and quadrupled and squeezed us out. So it's a double-edged sword. Is there a positive aspect to this leadership? If it's canceled out by the negative aspect that overpowers that aspect of positivity, is the question.
I hear you. I know we got to go to break, but I have another question for you. Break.
Yeah, let me take a quick break, and then Kareem will come back with your thoughts and Maika's follow-up question. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. That lights your number up on our switchboard so we know to open your mic and get your thoughts. And if you are watching us on Facebook or YouTube, The Female Solution, then simply write in your comments and we'll bring them up on screen and share them with our listening and viewing audience. And, of course, you are listening to and watching Reverend Cameron Barnes, who is a candidate for the office of alderman in the Ninth Ward. And when we come back, we'll talk further about where the Ninth Ward is located for those who may not be familiar with the city's construction and where things are and what some of those neighborhoods are comprised of, and also some of the other issues that are shared by many of the wards of Chicago, some of the collective things, and how you plan to perhaps work with your colleagues if elected to aldermen so that you can address some of these collective problems that are citywide and indeed nationwide, but definitely require some collective action. And we're certainly looking for some solutions. So we appreciate all of you who are listening in and joining in and willing to make a difference. We'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just one moment. So stay with us.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willa Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willa Wilson.
Kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willa Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, our guest co-host, Maika, and we have with us our guest for today, Aldermanic candidate, Reverend Cameron Barnes, who's sharing his vision for Chicago's Ninth Ward. And we know that there are many candidates who've thrown their hat into the ring for leadership. We've got some young leaders running for mayor. We've got leaders running for various aldermanic positions. People are ready for a change in direction, and we applaud all those who step forward to throw their hat in the ring and say, I believe
unmuted.
I can do better. So thank you so much for stepping up and choosing to make a difference and choosing to share your gifts with Chicago, the nation, and the world. Thank you, Reverend Barnes.
Thank you for the platform.
Well, we are back with our co-host. We've got a few comments from our Facebook viewers. Deborah, who is our third Saturday host, says, we want to make sure we have our sound on during the commercial breaks. So thank you for that. Okay. Oh, she says, now I can hear. Okay, yeah, we did have a moment of silence. Thank you, Deborah, for keeping us on track. And I believe, well, Kareem, you had a comment or a question you wanted to make, and then Maika had a follow-up question to her thought. And if you're on our switchboard now and have a question or comment, please press 1. We'll open your mic and get your thoughts. But Brother Kareem, go right ahead. And, of course, Kareem personally has been from St. Louis, which we know that city has many mirrors, much of what we experience in Chicago. And, you know, a lot can be said as to how do we deal with this economic challenge that we're all facing in our cities. But Brother Kareem, go right ahead with your thought.
Yes, I am impressed with Reverend Cameron Bourne's beginning of activism of protesting the closing of a public high school. Education is very important. It is an essential. It cures a lot of our social ills. There was an attempt here in St. Louis to close a landmark high school, Sumner High mm-hmm. School. It was the first high school open to African Americans west of the Mississippi. And it produced doctors, lawyers, professionals. It produced some very astute citizens. Praise be to Almighty God. So I'm grateful that he saw the importance of not closing the public high school, but improve upon it and the state of education. Too many people are cut off from proper education. Also, I'm impressed with his coalition of social activism with almost every civil rights group in this country. He has been in contact with and worked with them. That is a maturing and evolving process, and I believe that he has evolved now to step into leadership. Concerning your age, Reverend Barnes, you know, as you well know, it is written in Christian scripture, and a child shall lead them.
So don't feel
dismayed. The young minds, they bring with them a new vision and new solutions. They are not stuck in the status quo. And we are grateful that you have mentoring with Reverend Jackson and others from the, I won't say old guard, but, well, I'll use that, from the old guard, that you have mentoring and wisdom coming from them. Also, when the city mentions investment, what they call investment, usually they will bring in Walmart. In order to get Walmart to agree to establish themselves there, they are given huge tax breaks over a number of years. And you are correct, my brother. They pass those taxes on to the residents of that area. The homeowner taxes goes up to replace the taxes that they would have gotten from Walmart. And also... for real, Walmart saps the small business life out of almost every community where it is established. It sucks the life out of what businesses that previously exist. There are whole towns that wound up losing their whole business life. Establishments shut and shut down because a Walmart is so huge and so large, they can purchase commodities at a much lower price than the small competitor, and the small business cannot compete. So that trick of, well, we're going to invest in your area. We are going to bring in a Walmart. I'm grateful that you see the flip side of that so-called investment. So the impact on the residents, especially the homeowners, is tremendous by way of shifting those taxes to tax-paying homeowners. So I'm grateful that you see that, and also we are grateful that you are bringing a fresh view, a new set of eyes, eyes that are not trained by the status quo, you know, by the status quo. Sometimes the status quo can lull our political leaders into somewhat of a stupor. They accept the status quo. So by the present alderman not being present on issues, even of a national level, that shows that unfortunately he has accepted the status quo. And we're grateful to hear that you have fresh eyes, a fresh vision, a youthful perspective on addressing solutions in the Ninth Ward. And if you are elected, I'm quite sure that your interest will be the conditions of your constituents and not be swayed or your attention placed elsewhere. But I appointed two important ingredients that you mentioned. First was education. How can we improve the educational system? And then also entrepreneurship, the business life of a community. It is the small business that keeps this country growing and healthy. It is the small businesses. So if some funding, some help can be targeted for opening up entrepreneurship in the Ninth Ward, opening up businesses. For real, poverty is the twin of crime. Poverty causes crime. If we can help alleviate poverty and the lack of ownership, I truly believe that will improve the community in which we represent and in which we live. But I'll stop right there. I don't let your age stop you. And Maika mentioned something that was very important. When you meet with a resident in a Ninth Ward, the most important voice to hear from is the voice of the mother. What future she wants for her, what conditions do she want for her children, and what future she wants for her children. That is the most important voice. I'll stop right there, my brother, and I wish you much success in your valiant attempt to represent the Ninth Ward of Chicago. Stay young. Thank you, my brother.
I like that. Stay young.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it.
Yes. He did ask, I guess, a question about the ideas of development, because like Kareem said, when we get told, okay, we're going to bring some development, what we end up with is a big box store like Walmart, which kills all the other local businesses. And also, you know, their hiring policies, they do not.
Are not the best.
Yes.
At all.
And so their presence has had a major impact on a lot of communities, and not always positive, even though it might offer a lot of jobs. It doesn't necessarily offer jobs that can provide a livable wage.
Right.
And so what do you envision, as Kareem was mentioning, in terms of making it possible for new entrepreneurship, other business development, other areas that need addressing? Because there are needs that people have, and every need is an opportunity for a business. But how do you empower the residents to create those businesses? How do we attract the kind of dollars for investment in new ideas, in new businesses, in a business district? I've just in going to All Gill Gardens, I didn't see a business district there at all, which says a lot. So, you know, where's the local grocer, the lawyer's office? Where's the cleaners? Where's the businesses, and how do we make that happen?
None of those there are even here. There's no cleaners. There's no movie theater. There is no dining restaurant, fine dining, and such, with the exception of the Ranch Steakhouse on Michigan Avenue, which is a more not a fine dining restaurant, but it is kind of like a diner, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Great little family diner. It's one of my favorite spots to go to, actually, and I implore people in the Ninth Ward to visit the steakhouse on Michigan. To your point, Ms. Lateef, two of the most major developments that have come, to the Ninth Ward has been Walmart and an Amazon delivery center, two companies of which whose human resource practices are questionable, where we see different things internally, very much so often with these two companies, particularly with the fair treatment or lack thereof of these employees. And it was published for the Amazon Distribution Center. It's published in the paper. I have to go back and find that paper. If you go to my website, www.cameron49.com, you'll see a lot more information. But it's published that it's not even known how many of those jobs are actually back from the Ninth Ward. No one knows. No one can articulate the fact that these jobs that were quote-unquote created were then given to this community. There may be folks traveling from other communities to get the jobs in this community, which is another reason why this quote-unquote investment is not really the investment that we see and that we really need, because, again, we bear the brunt of the negative side of the investment, which is I didn't get a job when it came in and it had these different kinds of jobs opened up. But my point for revitalizing businesses, again, at my website, you'll see a full-page plan of the biggest three things that we want to do. Funnily enough, this is the first point of this campaign, revitalization without gentrification. So there are over 60,000, I believe, parcels of vacant land, vacant buildings, and vacant homes in Chicago. A great deal of that is in the Ninth Ward. There's not a block you can go on, and that's in a residential street or even a commercial street where there is not either an abandoned building, an abandoned house, or an abandoned lot. So what we see is opportunity there.
Right.
Because everywhere that there is an abandoned building, potential to then turn that around for investment. But the question is, how can you do that? Well, each one of these that are abandoned like this, which the alderman does not care to fine these different property owners for keeping up the landscape of their property. Many times their weeds and lawns that are growing out of control, the house or the building is falling apart, almost falling down, and it brings just the moral of our community down. That's one piece already. It's really cleaning up some of that that's just abandoned. But more than that, why don't we employ a program for the constituents, the entrepreneurs in the constituency that says this property is on the delinquent tax list, and what you have to do is pay the taxes that's owed, and you can obtain that property. In many cases, it's less than $1,000, and you can become a property owner. People in the Ninth Ward don't hear these kinds of plans that is not really ever offered to them to own property. It's one thing to own the business. You should own the property of which your business stands on.
Right.
So why is not the alderman, which is what I will do, Cameron as Ninth Ward Alderman employs a program that says, let me show you how to obtain this piece of property. First, for your business that you want to birth, because we don't have to go and outsource businesses when there are businesses being birthed. As you just mentioned, every time there's a need, there's a potential for a business.
Yeah.
And many people already are running different kinds of things, some may be honestly illegally out of their homes, because we're in a scratching and surviving kind of way. You see in good times where we're trying to keep our head above water. In many cases, you can't blame people because, again, those taxes have tripled. I got to get more money or else I'm going to be put out of my home. Now I'm running a business or a makeshift something out of my home. Let's employ a program. Teaches you how to pick this property up off of the delinquent tax list. Use of TIF funds to then create an increment on top of that tax so that when the taxes are paid, the tax goes back to the city. That creates more money for the city, because as long as it's on the delinquent tax list, the city ain't getting no money either.
Right, right.
Because ain't nobody paying taxes on it.
Right.
So then we bring the TIF district in. The taxes are now going to the city. You get money again on the tax roll. The increment then comes back off for the upbuilding and the upkeeping of that property. And then now all of a sudden we've got a thing called generational wealth being born in the Ninth Ward, because property appreciates and doesn't depreciate.
Yeah.
So what about the person who cannot afford that even still? There ought to be also another avenue where you have black developers. If you want to get rid of gentrification, you bring in somebody to develop the community that looks like the community. So you bring in the black developers through a CDFI, where the developer itself can pick up the property.
And what does CDFI stand for? What does CDFI stand for?
CDFI is just a bank. It's really just, I don't know exactly what CDFI is, the financial institution.
Mm-hmm.
But what it is just really a another form of a bank that the nonprofit can go through.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the nonprofit goes through that bank, through the CDFI, because it's a nonprofit, of course, so it's got to go through the bank. When they pick up that property and then they develop that property, the same usage of those TIF funds, now when we give over the property to the community, when you're paying rent, you're actually paying a mortgage. And once that mortgage is paid off, again, you have that property. And then now you again have generational wealth, because you didn't have the startup capital itself to buy the property outright, so you rent it to own. And now you have that property through the developer, nonprofit developer, through the CDFI, where they get their money. And then when you're paying the money back to them in rent, they're taking that rent, giving that back to the CDFI. You're renting to own. Now you've again created. created generational wealth, and you've not been pushed out of your community. It's actually been revitalized for you and not against you. And you don't have to worry about foreigners coming in, because as of right now, under our current leadership, black developers really can't get contracts. Very seldom, very, very seldom that you see a black contractor, a black developer, get any deal in the Ninth Ward. Hence why the dilapidation is so severe as we speak. At Community Development Finance Institutions, Ishmael, I appreciate you so much. That's exactly what the CDFI is. And that's what it's community development. That's why they do this. And so we create the avenue for black people to own this property. It attacks a layered problem. Now our neighborhoods are not run down from vacant lots that are not upkept. It's not run down from businesses and homes that are falling apart. And then that curbs crime and violence, because when different things go on, and drug and substance abuse, how many times has anyone seen someone living in an abandoned building, using and abusing drugs? How many times have you seen someone fleeing from a crime in an abandoned building? These things create an environment for us to fester crime, violence, drug and substance abuse. So then at the same time that we're creating the generational wealth, we're bringing the businesses back, we're not pushing black people out, we're also curbing violence, we're also curbing drug and substance abuse, and we're also beautifying the community. It's the community. It's a layered solution to a layered problem. It's revitalization without gentrification. And we can look up in 10 years or less, because I want to do it quicker than that. A term is only 4 years. So I can't wait to give my term report in 2027 when I'm up again for re-election to say, this is what we've done in 4 years, and this is how many business owners we've created, not outside of the community, but who are birthed right here. Daycares in the community, the cleaners that should be in the community, the diner or the fine dining that should be in the community, the theater that should be in the community, the recreational space that should be in the community, all of these different things that we lack. There's nowhere for you to go for relaxation. There's nowhere for live music. There is no venue that you can rent out to do a repast for your loved one. There's no venue you can rent out to do your wedding in the Ninth Ward. There's no venue you can rent out to do a banquet in the Ninth Ward. All of those things, I believe, are in the minds of our constituents, but it's not able to come to fruition simply because we don't have a plan for development. Wow. That's my plan, to revitalize without gentrifying.
All right.
That makes sense.
That makes a whole lot of sense.
When I mentioned a new vision, praise be to Allah.
There you go. Then you just heard a new vision. Well, we got to take a next break, and then, Maika, we're going to come back with your follow-up question. You've been listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. Our special guest today is Aldermanic candidate Reverend Cameron Barnes, and he's sharing his vision for Chicago's Ninth Ward. And we will be right back after this quick break. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. And if you've got some questions, feel free to call in. Yes, sir. Do you have some callers on your switchboard also?
Yes, Minister Plump. I recognize his number. Okay.
All right. Well, hold on, Minister Plump. We've got to first come back to Maika, and then we'll get your comments. And anybody else on our switchboard, got a long list of callers on the switchboard. Make sure you press 1 to let us know you have a question or comment to make for our guest. And we will be right back after this quick break. So we invite you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry. You are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating and mindful conversations on higher learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness sessions on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness / stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
If you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant, our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Back, you're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hamid, our American Muslim 360 family, and our special guest co-host on this second Wednesday of the month, Maika. And we invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1. So that we know you've got something to say, And we've got a caller on the line, 312-905. We're going to open your mic in just a moment. But first, let me get back to the follow-up question that you had, Maika, for Reverend Barnes. Go right ahead with your follow-up question.
Thank you. Reverend Barnes, I just want to know what your priorities are in terms of address as an alderman in the Ninth Ward, and also how do you intend to deal with the gang issue in the Ninth Ward?
Well, my priorities, of course, the first is the revitalization without gentrification. I want to get that done right away. We want to kick that off in our first 100 days in office. We want to begin meeting with the black developers, then begin meeting with the community to find our entrepreneurs here to weed out those who are looking for space, who are looking for the opportunity. We want to cultivate the opportunity here in the Ninth Ward to create a space where entrepreneurs can flourish and create their generational wealth. That's the first thing, is revitalization without gentrification. The next priority is education innovation, which I think will also kind of subsequently answer your follow-up question of what can we do with these gangs. I understand, you know, as a young man, I have many friends who have been subjected to gang violence, who have been subjected to gang activity, friends, family members. All of us know someone who may be somewhere involved in some kind of gang activity, if we were honest with ourselves. And in the most part, many things, because really, I believe that these three points, I'm going to get to that last point as well, but these three points, if implemented synergistically together, I think all address the community gang violence thing, because let me just give you a little kind of, so to speak, background on it, how I interpret it as a young person out, you know, looking in to be my peers. Many of those that I know who are subjected to gang violence probably don't have a two-parent household. Matter of fact, anyone that I know personally doesn't have that two-parent household. The family unit is slightly broken up. The one parent that is there has to provide for the bills and different things. They may have two jobs, so they're largely absent. The other parent is not there. Most of that gang members that I know have younger siblings. Because that one parent that is there is working multiple jobs, that sibling that becomes a gang member has really become the head of the household, the man or woman of the house. Because mom or dad, whichever one is absent, the other parent is largely working. But sister and brother and myself still have to eat. I'm tired of seeing mom or dad struggle, tired of seeing mom or dad cry, tired of not being able to have what the other kids have. This generation wants to be able to fit in. They want someone to belong to. They want something. They want to be accepted by something. And anytime you don't get that, you do what is any means necessary in order to get that. Many of them then also fall into these different kinds of street lives because I got to get rich quick. And there's no mentor on the street. There is no opportunity on the street, legal at least. There is no kind of investment on the street. So when you talk about education innovation, which is my second point, I'm actually answering both questions at the same time. I don't want to lose you, but I'm answering both questions at the same time. My priority is revitalization without gentrification. The next was education innovation. And in this priority point, I believe we can also address the gang violence. Because if you're talking about education innovation, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, STEAM, as you would. Some people say STEM, but we've added the arts into it to make it STEAM. Then we're talking about coding and robotics. Because Elon Musk, who had just bought Twitter, people came to Twitter for black Twitter. We ran Twitter. If there was a coding mechanism embedded in our curriculum in the Ninth Ward, when Elon Musk took over Twitter and people didn't know what would come of that app, a black kid in the Ninth Ward would have been able to code and create a new app. An app is nothing but coding. nothing but knowing how to be able to code in technology. And then that creates an avenue to a new competitive workforce skill set. If you're talking about when you go into McDonald's these days, you don't have to ever interact with any person at the desk. You can go inside, go to a kiosk, you can order your food, you can pay for your food, you can pick it up when you hit the counter and never talk to somebody. Somebody had to code that and create that. Restaurants now employ robots to do delivery and do different waitress and waiter activities. And some people are saying, well, that's taking jobs. It is taking a job, but it's creating a job as well, because who got to build that robot? Somebody's got to build that robot. And if we're teaching robotics now, again, we've opened up a new skill set to a new workforce. Not only that, everybody doesn't go to college, but didn't go to college. I went 4 years at Central State University, earned my bachelor's in marketing. My brother did not do that. He went to 1 year at Indiana State University and then did not return. He now has a trade, and he's doing well working on the railroad, making fine money. In that sense, we need to also invest in the trades. Do you know if there was someone who wanted to get rich quick, wanted to help that parent, wanted to feed their younger brother, their younger sister, but did not want to be subjected to the perils of gang violence? Do you know how many young people would opt for an electrician job starting at $30 an hour or a plumber job starting from $60 to $150 an hour, and now I can create that wealth in my family and I don't have to look over my shoulder for my enemy and tote a gun all day long because the money I make is legal. And now I really don't even have to have a college education to do that when the avenues are not created in our world to allow you to get to education. To allow, there's no high school. Where's the pipeline to college in the first place? So if there's no high school, if you disinvest in the education, there is no high school, there is no college, there is no resource, there is no investment, then absolutely you're going to have increased gang violence. Absolutely you're going to have increased gang activity. This is the system by which we were designed to fail. And this is exactly what the system is doing. It's doing what it was designed to do. All we have to do is make sure that we have elected officials in place to oppose that and actively work against that. There is no incentivized mentorship that lets you know that, yes, there is someone you can talk to at your convenience. There's no therapy. There's no counseling. When you talk about education, innovation, all of these things start in the malleable mind of a young person. If we can grab them in the middle school element and mentor them and create these avenues, who's going to say no to saying, if you want to go to college, we'll create that pipeline. But one of the greatest things about being a national leader, I've been to New York several times. I was an invited speaker for Reverend Al Sharpton's National Action Network. I worked very extensively close with his national youth director. I was the national youth director for Reverend Jackson. I worked with his national youth director and all of the national youth directors of those civil rights organizations that I mentioned. Wisdom Cole is at NAACP. Elliot Smith was at Repairers of the Breach Poor People's Campaign. Tyleek McMillan was at National Action Network. Now it is Felibi Dossa. Tyleek has moved on to another position. But what I'm saying is, in New York, there's a pipeline from their community college directly to Morehouse College so that you can go cut student debt in half by doing your prerequisites at community college where you didn't need a big scholarship and you didn't have to dream big to go to the community college. You can get your prerequisites done and create a direct pipeline to Morehouse College. Olive Harvey College, Community College, is in the Ninth Ward. That's a pipeline. You know, to me, I'm going to create a pipeline to Central State University. I love Central State, my alma mater. But to any college, we create that avenue so that these students are grabbed out of middle school, out of high school, before gang violence even reaches them, we reach them. And if you don't want to go to college, then here, get in this apprenticeship program. Get in this plumbing program, this electrician program. Learn how to cook. Learn how to be a bricklayer. My grandfather has like a seventh grade education, has built a three-generation bricklaying construction company because he knew how to use his hands. He knew how to have a trade. So I'm trying to say that all these different things work together synergistic. I don't believe there is one answer. It's a layered approach. That's why our elected officials are never done working, or at least should never be done working. But unfortunately, we see that many of them don't care to address it in this kind of detail. You got to understand that today's day and age, everybody is the same. It's not one answer. And so revitalization without gentrification, education, innovation. The last point is reprioritize resource allocation. When you're asking me about what is my pertinent point that I see right away in the Ninth Ward, we need to revitalize without gentrifying, bring the businesses in, don't push the residents out. Education, innovation, employ a new curriculum that allows us to compete on the 2023 scale, the technological scale, and that gives them correct alternatives to everything, not just to college, but also to mental health disparities and to gang violence. The last thing is reprioritize resource allocation. There is a $16.4 billion budget for Chicago in 2023. Billion with a B dollars for this city budget 2023. Divide that by 50 wards, and you as an alderman, as the alderman, should have access to at least $300 million this year alone for the Ninth Ward. Resource allocation must be prioritized to come down to the constituency that needs it the most first. We cannot continue to pour millions and millions and millions into one area when the length and breadth of the Ninth Ward has not yet been served. So we've got to be sure that the resources that we have are allocated in a prioritized stands. I know I'm a little long-winded, but guys, this is a layered problem. We're talking about 2.5 decades, 24 years in the Ninth Ward under the leadership that we've had. This is not a one-word answer, and this is not a short answer kind of run. You have to have an actual plan, and that's exactly what I'm developing here. I hope that answered your question, at least in some case. Let me know if it didn't, if there's anything I should expound upon.
Wow.
Reverend Barnes?
Definitely you thought about it quite in depth.
Can I?
For sure.
Your passion also.
Yes, yes. That definitely comes across, the passion. Yes. We're going to take take a couple of callers before we take the next break. And if you are listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891. Make sure you press 1 so your number lights up on our switchboard and we can come right to you and get your thoughts. And let's see, I believe you've got Minister Plump on the line. We'll see if we can get his comment real quick, and then see if we can take our other caller on our switchboard before we take a break. Go right ahead, and if you've got any other callers, please let me know, and I'll make sure we get them in before we go. Go right ahead.
Okay, Eric, 312-671. I think this is Minister Plump. Assalamu alaikum, Minister Plump.
Wa alaikum salam, wa on ya shalom, and excuse me, and assalamu alaikum. Yes, I believe that our brother from a different mother is fantastic, and so is the female solution. This is Minister Robert Floyd Plump in Chicago, and thank God for the female solution. That equals to 23. Happy Kwanzaa. And we are doing it 365 days. And today is Wednesday, as we do, and I am one of the men on a mission for self-determination, which is green. And you're talking about the land and the money. And we all have to have that in order to breathe. So I want to make sure that I get a Reverend Barnes telephone number. I'm going to give him mine, which is 312-671-2773. I want to do a educational collaboration for entrepreneurs, success breeds success in the Ninth Ward. And also, I want to respond to the fact that the world responds to need, greed, or curiosity. And we need to do a collaboration with the Third Ward here, which is where I live here in the Third Ward here in Chicago, and also to respond on the fact that we need to have a plan, and ain't nothing better than working the plan and a new vision, and vision equals 23. So we have the Harold Washington Foundation .info for more information. You can go to that, and I want to get his number so we can start our collaboration with the Female Solution and the Third Ward and the Ninth Ward. And nine is divine, and three is communication. So thank you for communicating with me.
And thank you. Dr. And Minister Plump, with his permission, I'll pass his information on. With his permission, I'll pass it on to you and also pass yours on to him so that you can collaborate. We thank you so very much, and look forward to your continued activism. We're going to see if we can squeeze in another caller before the break. Area code 312-905. Your mic is open. Please give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment for our guest.
Hi, my name is Lloyd, and I'm calling because I wanted to ask Cameron. Earlier in the conversation, there was talk about Walmart coming in and Amazon coming in and into the ward, and how they were financed through the tax incentives. And I was just wondering, I've heard Cameron speak before, and he had talked about how at one point there was a Ninth Ward Black Chamber of Commerce in the Ninth Ward. And it seems to me that, Cameron, would you be open to working with those members or businesses to create a plan that is funded exactly the same way that Walmart and Amazon, that using the taxes to do that? And if you would be open to that, could you talk about it a little more?
Yeah, and can you tell us again how to spell your name? And
Lloyd.
You're from Chicago, correct?
Lloyd.
Lloyd. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Lloyd, from Chicago. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And excellent question also.
Well, thank you, Lloyd, of course. He mentioned something very pertinent, actually. There was at one time, and there still is, a Roseland Business Council. And under this current leadership, in 2004, the grant for that Roseland Business Council that did a lot of community development, community upkeep, all of the different things that a business council should, they kept communication through those who were businesses in the Ninth Ward when there was a robust business corridor that is no more, of course. That grant was taken from them in 2004 by our current leadership almost 20 years ago. Grant taken away from them because they would not bow, so to speak, to this current leadership. And this current leadership feels that if you don't go with me, I will push you out. Doesn't matter if you're black. Doesn't matter if you are native to the community. If you don't go with me, then I'm going to push you out. And that's what we've seen time and time again. That business council grant was taken, and now they act so much so as a fraternity organization, if you will. They no longer can really even do the award and scholarship banquet that they used to be able to do, given COVID, of course, but also given the fact that they no longer can really survive without the grant, and they're surviving solely off of memberships from the dwindling businesses that remain in the Ninth Ward, those who have not yet been pushed out by this current leadership, although he is actively working to do so. I think that to your question, Lloyd, absolutely I will work with them, and I began already working with the president and the executive director of this business council. I began at least talking to them to employ this idea. Again, I have a robust agenda for the first 100 days in this office once I'm elected. We absolutely are going to have to revitalize that business council, who are the business owners 40 and 50 years in the community. They have stake in this community. I'm 24 years old. You've been in business in the community longer than I've even been alive. Although I'm the elected alderman, I cannot do this without consulting you. That would be disrespectful. That would not even be smart for someone to come in and disregard those who have created the ward of which you run. So absolutely, I want to work with them. I don't believe, though, Lloyd, because very particularly did you ask this question, I don't believe particularly that I would want to work with them and do the exact same thing that was done for the Walmart in the community development, and I'll tell you why. Only because, again, the Walmart came as revitalization with gentrification. We want to do revitalization without gentrification. So what happened with the Walmart when it was commissioned to be built, the current leadership took the business of the 10th district that was created in Roseland, the oldest 10th district, one of the oldest over on the south side in Roseland that had been in existence since 1996. That money, as you know, it takes several years for that money to come back to the community, about 23 years, I believe. In order to create this Walmart, and I think we got to go to a break, so let me go real quick. In order to create this Walmart, he created a new TIF district in Pullman, connected it to the TIF district in Roseland, siphoned the money out of Roseland, put it into Pullman, and then squeezed everybody out of Roseland as Pullman was being developed. That is not what I want to do. I don't want to take money from constituents here that need it to give it over to constituents over here who may or may not need it. It's the tale of the have-nots and the have-nots. And so I want to employ the idea of working with the business council in a much more economically solutional way to do better development that empowers the small business and not tramples the small business.
Thank you for that answer. And thank you so much, Lloyd, for calling. We appreciate you. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we'll take area code 773-960, so hold on. We'll be right back after this quick break, and if you are on our switchboard, press 1, and we'll open your mic and get your comments. And if you are watching us on Facebook or YouTube on the Female Solution, simply write in your comments, and we will share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we will be right back after this quick break. So we invite you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif. I'm going to share just a few words from Cameron Barnes as he began working out in the All Gale Gardens community, organizing an event and calling attention to some of the needs. That's right. That was Concordia. A community that had gone unheard and needed some attention and definitely need a representative voice to highlight the services and the repairs that need to be done on the units there. So just about, I think, 3-4 minutes, we're going to hear and see some of the activism of Reverend Cameron Barnes.
Oh, wow. Director, the Rainbow Push, and tell us about your position here and this event today.
So, in addition to serving as the National Youth Director at Push, I also serve as the Resident Service Coordinator here at Concordia Place Apartments at 13037 South Daniel Drive on the far south side in Chicago. Rainbow Push took this project on in February of 2021 when we got word of the deplorable living conditions, and so we've been working to try to get a multi-million dollar renovation of all 297 units here at Concordia Place. And as that process is going on, and we're still in the midst of that, and we will get that renovation done in the coming years, or rather in the coming months, and I don't want to make it feel like it's that long away, it's in the coming months. But until then, since July the 4th last year, 2021, we tried to do an event every month here at Concordia just to bring the livelihood back to Concordia. So prior to Rainbow Push being involved, this playground was closed. We didn't have community events. They didn't have community events here at Concordia. They weren't able to use the playground. They weren't able to use the community room in the leasing office. It was just a dead environment. That's what they told us when we got involved with Reverend Jackson, Omar Sharif, and Bishop Grant, and myself. And so as we've gotten involved, we wanted to do a lot more on the family and community side. So every major holiday since last year, July the 4th of 2021, we've done some kind of event out here. August and July are our biggest where we're outside, but we've even done turkey giveaways in the Thanksgiving time.
We've done Christmas things during Christmas. We gave away coats in January. We did an Easter event back in April. So we try to do something all the time. So today, this is just what we're doing. I'm working with the Tenant Council and resident advisors of Concordia to make this happen. We've got catered food. There's cotton candy. There's snow cones. There's what else? There's popcorn. There's face painting. And the young lady who does face painting also does a big bubble show. So she'll do a bubble show. We got entertainment coming from Michael Jackson. We got him, not the real one, but he looks and you'll think it's him for real. So there's a lot going on. So that's just what we want to do here.
How many residents are there in the Concordia Police Department?
So total in the complete complex, we have about 721 residents. 312 of those, which is more than, just about half of that, are under the age of 18. 312 under the age of 18, 721 total residents, 297 units. So the bulk is children, and with them not being able to use the playground for years prior and being able to do different things, the children are really the emphasis of why we do these things, and that's the motivation. The council is always telling me, Cameron, we got to do something for the kids because it's the 4th of July or it's back to school time or whatever. So next month in August, we'll be doing our back to school event. We'll be giving out school supplies and everything to get ready for the kids to go back. CPS starts on August the 22nd. So we're looking to put our date down for August for our back to school event. But this is what we do. 721 residents, 312 kids under the age of 18, 297 units. We want a multi-million dollar renovation of each and every one of these apartments. And until we get that, we'll be having a little fun outside.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Congratulations on some great success.
Thanks so much. I look a little sweaty. I usually do interviews, and this is for the watermelon. We'll have a watermelon eating contest in just a moment, so I have to go and cut up watermelon and everything, too. So I'm not a serial killer, guys. I'm not Michael Myers.
that's watermelon night.
Well, we'll have a watermelon night, watermelon eating contest. We'll probably have, like, a dance contest, a lot of different things. We have prizes to give away. We've got some gift cards that we're going to give away. This is a $6,000 event. And we use that entire budget. I use every dime that I could. And we are making sure that it goes to good use.
Doing a great job. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you, Ms. Latif.
All righty.
Okay. And that was Reverend Cameron Barnes in action. And that lets you know that he is true to his word about serving the community hands-on and making a difference, and definitely listening to the needs of the community. There are so many that need help and don't always get heard, especially when they are among those who are struggling economically. And unfortunately, we have in this nation an economic underclass that gets ignored too often as a matter of policy. So it's necessary to have someone who cares enough, who is going to step up and fight for the rights of the ignored among us. So thank you so much, Reverend Cameron Barnes, for being one who speaks up. And we've got some more comments here on Facebook. Zelda Robinson, our Monday morning mindfulness host, says, Grand Rising, beautiful queen teacher, if we want something different, we must do something outrageous. Get involved. Thanks for sharing. Absolutely. And she says, please contact HLN with him for the Global Virtual Team Talent Contest for youth age 13 and 19 to win prizes, etc. Yes, she does. Every last Saturday of the month, she does a global teen talent competition, and we've seen some fantastic talent. And I'm sure that with all the youth out there in Concordia, there's somebody waiting to be discovered. So all they have to do is, So she said, all they have to do is send a 1-minute video clip to hlntvshow@gmail.com. That's the higherlearningnetwork.org. And also, Zelda says,
so glad to see someone come forth to help that community. We are the village. That is right. If we don't do it, who will? And Julian Wright says, morning. Let's definitely support Reverend Cameron Barnes. Well, you got a vote of confidence there. Thank you, Julian Wright, for
my
voicing your
Julian
opinion.
Wright. Yeah. Julian Wright is a business owner himself. He owns a, he's younger than I am, I believe. He owns a ride service, Julian Enterprises, JW Enterprises.
Wow.
If you want, he does a lot of work all across the community. He, if you need a limousine, if you need a car service, you need to be picked up, Julian Wright, go to JW Enterprises. That's my brother. I love him.
All right, JW Enterprises. All right, look for some calls. You just got a big plug there. Here you go. I think we got a couple more callers.
Reverend Barnes?
Yes. Go right ahead, Kareem, and then I'll figure out which of these callers I haven't gone to yet. Go right ahead.
Okay, I'll be very brief. You mentioned the concept of learning to do something with your hands that does not require a four-year college scholarship. My nephew, he entered an apprenticeship under a close friend of ours who was an electrician. Well, years later, now my nephew has his own business, and he has employees working for him.
Mm-hmm.
His business is doing quite well. I'm not sure how they did it, but Amazon contacted him, and they're offering him a place of employment in their corporation. I have not spoken with him yet, but I plan to speak with him and express the concern that you own your own business. You are doing well. You are being recruited by Amazon. They will glean from you the knowledge that you have, and you will leave your business. I want to impress upon him to continue with his investment and his business efforts and grow his business and continue to employ young men and train them in that trade.
Yeah.
I haven't spoken with them yet, but that's what I intend to do. But thank
you.
Well,
thank you for sharing that. You know, and that really is the solution to the whole crime, gang violence tragedy that we're going through. When people are doing things that are productive, that make them feel good about themselves, that are helpful to the community, then they don't turn to that other thing. So that, I mean, the solution really is in our hands, but as we know, we need the right kind of leadership that has the vision. So we appreciate visionary young people who step forward. So let me see. I think we have 773-960. Have we spoken to you yet? I don't know if we have.
Oh no. Good morning. This is Kufu James.
Ah, yes, Kufu James. Thank you for calling. Go right ahead with your question or comment for our guest.
Well, it sounds positive. I like the energy there, the effort. But I would like to say that we are being inundated by other people from other countries, and we're surrounded in our communities where we can only spend money with foreign people. Probably the best example of our freedom was Tulsa, Oklahoma, where they circulated their money 30 times, and guy had a shoe, shiny business, he was making money, guy had a clothing store and all that. That is the life force, and if we stop doing that, we're going back to slavery. In other words, we just find out how can we get black suppliers, spend money with ourselves, circulate the money as much as we can, because we cannot stop that. If you stop that, the lake dries up. We have to circulate our money because, I mean, there's so many businesses, new businesses coming here from foreign nations. I can't even count them. So they come right to the black community, and this is why we have this issue. You talking about the violence, the drug, all that. All that's coming from we're not circulating money. When you circulate money, there won't be no crime. There won't be no issues. There won't be no trauma. Okay?
That's
the key.
We appreciate it.
If you have an opportunity,
you're right.
Share with someone else. I'm telling you, I've been this for a long time, and I know when there's money circulating with our people, that is the healing. That is the healing mechanism to keep us having hope, because a lot of our people, so-called people who look like us, they represent other nations. They represent other immigrants. They represent the Chinese or the Italians. They represent somebody else. And we see it. So that
you know,
is what it is.
And I'm taking another caller before we go. But, you know, the point that you've made, this Cameron was talking about, when there's an absence of things, and you know that every neighborhood needs certain businesses. You know they need, you know, dry cleaners. You know they need the grocery store. You know they need the restaurant. I mean, you know that neighborhoods need things. And when other people immigrate here and they see the absence of it, communities, that's what makes them decide, oh, they don't have anybody to fulfill their needs. I see the opportunity. So that's what happens. So we just have to make sure
we take
the opportunity.
When we need something, guess where black people go to? We go to the government. And the government goes,
well, you know,
okay.
It has to be a partnership.
Instead of going to our communities, instead of going with our neighbors, trying to figure out who has what, who has this resources that we want to put this here and make it black owned. We go right to the government and beg the government, and the government loves it, and they'll put an immigrant store right in your community. So that is what it is.
And we appreciate your call, and definitely that is one of the issues that comes up often when there is a government opportunity or money given. Who is it given to? And that has to be, as Cameron's saying, Reverend Barnes is saying, it has to go to those residents so that the money, as you said, can circulate, so that it can empower the people. And that means we have to have representation and make sure they bring that government money back to the people when it's being given out.
He mentioned a point that was so pertinent, very important, that I really truly want to highlight, that you've got to be sure that, of course, everybody that looks like us is not for us, and they represent the interests of other communities. Under this current leadership, what have we been able to enjoy, and what has our counterparts of other ethnicities been able to enjoy? Mm-hmm. Let's look at this in black and white. Quite literally, what have black people enjoyed? What have white people enjoyed? What have the constituents enjoyed? And what have the migrants enjoyed? You know, when migrants, and I'm not going to say that, you know, we shouldn't be a sanctuary city and everything, but I'm certainly upset when the migrants that have come from Texas have security in the Ninth Ward, but Pullman Suites, 112th place in Roseland, which is a senior building directly across the street from our current leadership's office, does not have security. How does the migrants get to come over and be secure? But our elderly, our most vulnerable constituents, cannot be secured in their own home.
Ooh.
So whose interests are being protected when we send this current leadership to the city council seat? It's not rocket science. It's really not. I want us to be able to see this for black and white. Literally look at what it is. Some people look like you, but they don't protect your best interests.
That is what it is, as
if
it said.
We hear that term government funds. That is not the government's funds. That is our money.
Taxpayers' money is our money.
That's
right.
We all pay taxes. We just want our share. Thank you, Reverend Barnes. We want our share.
That's all it is.
May
That's
I
all
it is.
May I make a statement?
Yes, and then we got one more call and a couple of comments on Facebook. Go right ahead, Maika.
Yes, thank you. I want to support your campaign, Reverend Barnes, your spirited and energetic campaign in any way that I can. The purpose of a wife also is a covering, but you can substitute an elder. Anyway, I'd like to talk to you as soon as possible and let you know how I can be of support.
Absolutely. We'll be thankful.
We have a caller here on the agent
Yes. Well, let me see if I can.
We have a caller here.
Okay. Well, let me see if I can quickly get to the last couple of callers and a couple of comments. Jesse G.F. Jones says, Ninth Ward will be the perfect example under Cameron Barnes. We must not just talk, but vote and empower new leadership. Yes, absolutely. Take that thought to the polls. And Zelda says, as a 32-year volunteer at Diverse Senior Food Pantry, I see the benefits afforded to others not offered to U.S. citizens, especially us. Say, all right, testify. Yes. And we've got area code 813646. You got about 30 seconds for your comment. Then we got another caller on the AM360 line. Go right ahead. Give us your name or your calling number and your question or comment for our guest.
L.A. Central Florida, just real quick. This is basically something that you, Naima, and your partner, business partner, can act on right now. There's a book, if you haven't read it yet, and not only Naima, but anybody listening, the book was written by Van Jones called The Green Collar Economy. That book has a blueprint that is just perfect for this Ninth Ward up in Chicago. Deals with solar energy and all renewables. So I recommend just get the blueprint, the Blue Collar Economy. I'll land my plane there.
All right. Well, thank you so much, L.A. from Central Florida. And he's been very powerfully making good use of land and building tiny homes and working with solar power. And that's probably a thing that the Ninth Ward could benefit from.
We definitely want solar in the Ninth Ward. So please connect me, Ms. Naima,
with
him, because
we'll
just had that conversation about solar yesterday.
Oh, we'll make that happen for sure. And Kareem, you've got a caller. I think we've got about a minute before we wrap up. You can take that caller on your line.
We've got about 30 seconds. Yeah, the area code 773-450. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum, my brothers and sisters. Good morning and holiday greetings. I just wanted to say I hope the brother gets a chance to be in the political arena because he has some great ideas. The only other thing I was going to say is that our people lack unity. I got 100 If we have 1,000 people with $100, we got $100,000. Why are we struggling? We just need unity. Appreciate you all.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Well, we thank all of you for listening in and calling in and writing in your comments. We appreciate you so very, very much. And Joe says, yes, Van Jones, the blue-collar economy. Yes, we do have that as a viable option. We're going to make that happen. Thank you so much, Kareem Hameed. Thank you so much, Maika Bevel. We appreciate all of your wisdom and all of you all who've listened in and called in. And be sure to go to the website. Let me pull it up again, www.cameron49. Is that correct? Yes. So we'll make sure that you go to that website and get involved in this opportunity to make a difference. We appreciate you so very much for stepping forward and being a bright young voice for not the future, but the present. Thank you so very much. And we'll look forward to hearing more from Reverend Cameron Barnes, www.cameron49. I'm Naima Lateef, and we will see you tomorrow on The Female Solution. Join us for Soulful Solutions with Dr. Ruby Green. And, of course, on this every day,
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Jeonkunyo, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Madasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jeret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.